prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 13 February 2024. Welcome to this broadcast. We're glad you're with us, and I sincerely do mean that. It's wonderful to have you here. And I have a very special guest tonight, a brand new one, never had on here before. And thanks to Kevin Gallagher, the CEO of Truth Be Told Radio Network, got me in touch with Pastor Ed Brady. We're going to talk to him in a minute and let him share his testimony. And in the phone line, by the way, the toll-free line is still not up. We cannot take phone calls tonight because the lines are still messed up. Hopefully by the first of next week, we're back up and running the way it should be. One day at a time, right? Before we get here, though, don't forget, hopefully this weekend we're going to have Bible study. The weather is not looking real good, not real sure, but we're going to maybe try something new. And try to do it by Skype or Zoom, where I can be there with Phil and still be here in the office. I don't know how it's going to work or if it's going to work. I know we may try that if possible, but we intend to have Bible study this weekend, starting at 10:30 a.m., as always, with prayer requests and praise reports. And at 11:30, the Christian Worldview News, and then at 1 o'clock, Bible study. So I'm not real sure how it's going to work. This is all brand new to me. But Phil wants to have a webmaster come down, help me set everything up to do a Zoom for the first time if the weather's too bad across the mountain. Because we are behind on Bible studies, you know that. So I'll let you know by tomorrow night if I can at all. I do have a prayer question. I got a phone call from a lady today named Sue. Her son is in his 50s, but he's having a rough time with himself, with booze and drugs and things. And she's really praying hard for him to understand what's going on and accept Christ. Nothing else has helped him. He'd been through meetings with different people trying to help him through these things with psychology, I guess you could say, and different things. But, folks, nothing really changes in an individual's life unless they wanted to. They allow Christ to come in and make a difference. It just doesn't work any other way. Christ is the difference for everybody. I've worked with a lot of people over the years, quite a few of them on drugs. And so far, and I really hate to say this, I know of one, most of them, that turned themselves around in Christ. The others did not come to Christ. One died with an overdose. Another one in the same family is in bad shape right now. And folks, the drugs are a powerful, powerful enemy. And Satan wants to accuse them and kill you. But keep Sue's son in prayer, please. Please do that. Don't forget, we're still offering, of course, the book, The Old Jerusalem, Not the New Jerusalem. They are here. Got them today. They're going out Thursday. And the 57-page packet on why we use the 1611 KJV Bible only. It's available all here. You can call 800-777-4403 Or if you can call long distance, it'll save us some money if you'll call 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. Now, our guest tonight is Pastor Ed Brady. He has his own radio show, been doing it for 50 years. He makes me look like a rookie. It's Ed Brady, B-R-A-D-Y, EdBradyRadio.com. He's been in broadcasting for 50 years and the ministry for 20 years. His program is played every week on 300-plus radio stations all over the world. I say it makes me look like a rookie. The shows are free to the stations, and we're supported by donations except on the website. God continues to prompt the people and businesses to make donations frequently. So Ed has been at this a long time, and he's out trying to reach people all over the world with gospel through song. He has three shows, Country Gospel, Sunrise, S-O-N-Rise, and God's Promises. He does a little bit of talking, a little bit of music playing, ministering and preaching, I guess you say, all through the program. Ed, welcome to the nice program. It's good to have you, Pastor. Come and join us.
Pastor Butch, thank you for inviting me to be here on the radio. I have a real calling to radio, so it's a real pleasure for me to join you tonight.
Well, it's good to have you. And you've been at it a lot longer than I have, and I'm really, honored to have you. And I'm proud in Christ of your work and dedication. I know doing radio is dedication. I've done this for almost 31 years. I've never taken a salary out of the ministry. I've always worked the job to pay my own way and still do part-time. So I try to put everything back into the ministry. And by the grace of God, we do go worldwide. We aim FM stations cross-country and websites everywhere and different ways to listen, new ways I never heard of 15 years ago, but they're working now. Shortwave, of course, is another one. But you've been doing this a long time, and explain to us what you do on your radio shows. What is your format?
Well, the format is mostly music on the first two, on Country Gospel and Sunrise Radio. One of the things that a station in Africa commented quite clearly, people like my show because between the songs, I only give them a spoonful of gospel. Some people, not all, but some people are turned off by pastors that go on and on and on and on. You know, even the preaching show that I have, God's Promises, is only 4.5 minutes long. And so, you know, almost anybody could tolerate 4.5 minute sermon, a mini sermon. And on the Country Gospel, it's mostly country gospel music. Sunrise is a contemporary Christian music like Michael W. Smith and Don Moen and people like that. And I really keep a focus on playing mostly music because that's what attracts people. They don't come to hear me. They come to hear the music that's so good. And country gospel is just something that really speaks to people's hearts. When you have Willie Nelson singing Family Bible, or, you know, or Ricky Skaggs, or Alan Jackson, or Merle Haggard. There's all these people throughout their entire lives. Country gospel has always been a part of country music, and they recognize, well, even make big stars. I've interviewed people like Alabama and Randy Owen. He realizes, even though he's a millionaire, that all his blessings come from God, and that's one of the reasons that Alabama did a couple of spiritual albums. But I think that the thing that brings people to the show week after week on 300 stations all over the world is the music. They tune in to hear the music, and then between the songs, I give them a little spoonful of something to think about or something the scripture says. And by keeping it in that ratio, the program's popularity continues to grow.
Well, you know, that is a unique way of approaching people, no doubt about it. And the key thing, of course, on anything is the Christian presentation you bring forward and tell them about Christ and who Christ is. Well, without that, we don't have any hope in the world at all, individually or the nation. It's either Christ or no way at all. But now, you and I both know, you live in America too, obviously. You're from Minnesota, if I remember right.
That's correct.
Up in the cold country. I've been up there one time myself years ago. I went up to the mall. What's that big mall they call it? The American Mall. What is that?
Mall of America.
Mall of America, yeah. Wow. I didn't stay very long. It wore me out.
It'd take you 3 days of shopping to see that mall.
Oh, it would. It's just something else. I mean, unbelievable. But anyway, it's pretty up in the area. A lot of lakes, I'm sure a lot of good fishing, but I understand the winters get bad up there too sometimes.
Well, we're almost in Canada, so we get a lot of Canadian winter crossing the border and coming into Minnesota, but you just ignore it. You really, the cities are used to it. You know, like if you get snow down in Atlanta, they have to stop. They don't have snow plows, you know, but people in Minnesota, in the cities in Minnesota, they have all the proper snow plows and stuff to keep the roads clear and get people back and forth to work just fine.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Well, with what you're doing, I'm sure that in your little mini sermons or your scriptures in between the songs, you're hitting some pretty serious topics, I'm sure, from time to time, what's happening in our country and trying to direct people in the right way to Christ and those who are living in all kinds of manner of we'll say, habits of drugs and booze and fornication and adultery. I'm sure you hit that once in a while, and you play music. You keep playing music because they like it, but you do put in some seeds once in a while, don't you?
You got to speak the truth. And one of the things that's, when I prayed to prepare for our program tonight, what God put on my heart for us to focus on is what most people consider acceptable sins. You know, modern sins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That even Christians ignore. It's amazing. Your program, A Call to Decision. Hey, it's time for people to decide, are you going to live the world's way or are you going to live God's way? I mean, one of the things that is obvious to me whenever I talk to people about their lives and their plans and their decisions, one of the first things that Christians seem to ignore is idolizing their career over a relationship with God and family. That's one of the reasons there's so many divorces. I mean, the world says you got to be somebody special. You got to be a self-made man. You got to seek success at the cost of everything. And unfortunately, in our society, half the families break up in divorce because, well, dad thinks he's doing a good job because he's bringing home a paycheck, or you got two parents that are working. They're both doing their best to bring home a paycheck, but the family suffers. So one of the things that's completely out the window now is sitting down to family dinner. You know, it's a drive-through McDonald's, and that's about it. And if we let our work, if we let our career take a position before our relationship with God or our family, we're completely going against the scripture called Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you really do seek God first, everything else will fall in place, and you'll be less frustrated about your finances and your job and your career. Yes, of course, you're going to have a career that you want to do your best for the Lord. And one of the ways that I picked my career, is it says in Scripture that God will give you the desires of your heart. Well, he puts into you the desire to do what he needs you to do because you're part of the body of Christ. To some people, he gives them the desire to save the dolphins, or to some people, he gives them the desire to save the rainforest or whatever. For me, he put in the desire for ministry and radio. And so I basically ignore everything else because that's not the track that God's chosen for me. When I talk to little kids that come to the radio station, they, you know, most people will say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I tell the kids to answer, God hasn't told me yet. You know, he might call you to be a doctor or a lawyer, or he might call you into construction or make chairs, be a carpenter or whatever. But God will tell you where he needs you in the kingdom, but you don't take that career and put it above your relationship with Jesus or above your relationship with your spouse. You really need to maintain those first, and the career will fall into place.
Yeah, that's very well put. It really, truly is. I mean, I've had, of course, feed a family for many years, still work part-time doing different things, keep the bills paid. But I was called in the preaching, oh my, almost 50 years ago. And I fought it for a while. I ran from it for a while. I didn't want to do it. I just fought it until I had a dream one night to kind of give me a warning. I said, okay, I'll tell you what, Father, I'll be an evangelist. Just don't make me a pastor. Within 2 years, I was pastoring two churches. I learned, don't tell him what you don't want to do. Because he'll get you in that line.
I had friends in seminary that told God they'll go anywhere but Africa. And guess where they're working? In Africa.
Well, I've learned
right.
That. Don't tell him what you don't want to do. Don't do that.
Well, you have to just listen. You just, and he'll... One of the things that I tell young people, especially when it comes to a career, God will put the desire in your heart to work with children or to work in a, in a particular cause like saving the dolphins. And there's something in your heart that's a passion that just keeps drawing you back to it. It makes you want to get up in the morning and go to work. And if you get up in the morning and you don't go to work, you're probably in the wrong career. You know, every day I have an opportunity to get up and work on my programs and distribute my programs all over the world. I'm amazed at how God has distributed these things. I didn't put up any ads in the Philippines. I don't know anybody in the Philippines, but God prompted the radio station managers in the Philippines and England and Wales and Ireland and Africa and South America and, oh my goodness, Canada and the United States. It's just, I did was create 700 programs, put them on the website, said, here, they're free, take them, download them, and send a donation if you can. And it just amazed me how God took my gift, if you will, of the 700 shows I gave to him, and he's distributing them all over the world, even tonight. Every day, or at least every week, another station somewhere downloads the programs and plays them. And it's just beautiful that they do, because it's the music is the message, if you will. The music is the thing that draws the people to the country gospel and the sunrise. Stations are happy to have a free program. It's a quality program, because I've been in ministry for 20 years and in the radio for 50. But it's an excellent program, and it's free. And, I do get plenty of donations. I mean, sometimes people donate on the website $20 or $200 or $2,000. It doesn't matter. Whatever people are led by the Spirit to give, we appreciate that. But I'm not doing it for the money. The main reason it is I'm in my mid-70s now, and I want my radio programs to continue to run after I am up in heaven with Jesus and leading people to Christ 50 years after I'm already up in heaven with Jesus. I'll still be on the radio, still be on earth, leading people to Christ, usually on Sunday mornings on hundreds of radio stations.
Well, that's phenomenal. And you said you discussed about the sins that are common in we'll call Christian homes today, and Christian churches, and we see it all the time. I see it all the time. It breaks my heart. It really does. It breaks my heart to see the one thing I've seen is the lack of respect for the house of God, the lack of respect in the way they dress, how they act in the sanctuaries. It breaks my heart, because that's a place where the church is to meet and be a holy place before God, to worship and praise for him and righteousness before him. But I see this happening everywhere, Brother Ed, and it breaks my heart to see that. That's dropping the standard. And if the world see the church dropping the standard that low, how low would the world go?
Well, it turns out to be a social club. I've pastored three different churches myself, and the last one I left. I mean, I had a contract to be there, and they paid me well and gave me a parsonage and everything. But they just insisted on being a club with a cross on the wall and refused to be a church. Even after being there 4 years, I said, listen, you're either, we've got to do it the Bible way, or we're just a social club with a cross on the wall. And they refused to change. And so I said, well, then, I've got to move on down the road. You can find somebody else. And I felt really bad leaving them. But I just decided to shake the dust off of my feet and move on, because all they wanted was, the chicken dinners and the bingo games and stuff like that.
Well, that's not the gospel of Christ. That's not teaching the Word of God. That's not teaching the commandments of God. That's not teaching holy living. That's just teaching fellowship, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't. And in church, you usually don't hear sermons that bring up things that are sinful that people are doing. Another one that came to my mind when I was preparing for the show is allowing lustful situations to exist. A pastor should say to the congregation, if you've got a pretty secretary and you're thinking lustful thoughts about her, you shouldn't allow that to go on. But that's kind of in normal society. They say, well, that's okay. Nothing's going to happen. We go out to dinner, go out to lunch or whatever with the secretary, but you can't do that. Because you're going to be tempted. There's a scripture in James 1:14 and 15. Each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed.
That's right.
And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. I mean, you are really, really playing with fire when you don't get yourself out of a lustful situation, whether it's a man that's lustful after a woman or woman after a woman for a man. It's just amazing the situations that we allow to exist, despite the fact as Christians we know they're wrong, and we know we need to change that. The other thing that I wanted to jump on here as we go about lustful situations, it's just amazing to me how society has taught the new normal is that men are allowed to lust after men and women are allowed to lust after women.
Yes.
And you can't condemn that. You know, you're going to... I remember a school recently that wouldn't allow a boy who said he was a girl to go into the girls' room. He sued the school, and the school board had to pay him $100,000 because the court came down on the side of the boy that said he was a girl and should have the right to go into the ladies' room. These are sins that we need to stand up against. And do it in a proper way so that we can serve God by being his full armor of God people here on earth.
Well, then the Bible tells to flee temptation. Don't walk into it with their eyes wide open. You know what I mean? You know, if temptation takes you by surprise, Christ will help you escape from that. If you keep going back to it, you're tempting yourself, and that is sin. Because lust in your heart is according to Christ, is about the same as doing the act itself. So it's a very dangerous thing. You know, that's very true. And all of us, being just mere mortals, have weaknesses we have to fight every day, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the people that say that they're born that way about being homosexual, they have to... Well, it's a lot of people are born with the desire, if you will, to drink alcohol. They become alcoholics. It seems unfortunate, but almost everybody drinks, and a certain percentage of them find out they're alcoholics by mistake. Well, you have to fight that. No matter, even if you're drawn to the alcohol or you're drawn to gambling or whatever it is, you have to fight that. And the same thing is if you are a man drawn sexually to a man or woman to a woman, you have to fight that because there's only one truth. And that truth is printed in the Bible, and the laws of God says that disgusts God when a man lays down with a man or a woman with a woman.
Absolutely. And a nation that tolerates that is damning itself just like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Now that's a fact. Go ahead.
Another one that just is so common and accepted, an acceptable sin, if you will, that Christians ignore is gossip, even in the church. I mean, it can originate from good intentions, but one of the things the three churches I pastored, I would have people come over to me and say, you know, we gotta pray for Sister Jane. And they weren't calling anybody to prayer. They were just calling to say, I got some juicy gossip on Sister Jane. And we shouldn't talk about people without them being present. You know, the scripture that hang your hat on is Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear. In other words, don't let unwholesome words come out of your mouth. Tell your friends, hey, we are not going to talk about them without them being present. You know, and especially whenever they start with this line. I've had so many people come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I shouldn't tell you this, but, and that's where I stop them.
Good point. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing that has become a real thorn in my side, if you will, that people have created as an acceptable sin is living together in fornication.
Oh, yes.
I mean, there are Christian moms and dads carrying furniture, helping their daughter move in with some boy that's not her husband.
Yes.
And our society, 90% of the young kids are living together, and a lot of the girls are having three kids with three different baby daddies. You know, living together is a sin. because it violates God's design for marriage and family. You know, and people think, well, living together is not a sin if they're really committed to each other. Well, if you're really committed to each other, get married. Men and women living together leads to fornication. Fornication is a sin.
That's right.
And today's movies and TV shows, they present fornication as normal, a normal part of dating. And it is not. You know, that's only for marriage. The scripture that I'm looking at here is Galatians 5:19 through 23. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. Adultery, fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and things like these. Let me tell you again, the scripture says, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, that, I think in my interpretation of that, is not necessarily, I don't think the scripture is saying you're not going to go to heaven. I think what it's saying is, if you're living in a homosexual relationship, you're not going to be able to experience the kingdom of God right here on earth. Because I know what that feels. I know what it feels like to live in the kingdom of God, right here on earth, and be blessed every day. And people that are living in a drunken, sorcery, idolatry, fornication life, they're not really going to get the warmth in their heart that you and I have, Butch.
No, they're not. And I'll be quite honest with you, they're not going to go to the kingdom of heaven either, because they're not Christians. A born again believer will not dwell on those things. He may stumble, but he won't dwell on those things. Because he can't. He's a new creature. A new creature created by the grace of Christ. Hates sin. Doesn't mean that he doesn't stumble into it. But he hates, his spirit hates sin, loathes sin, and doesn't want to partake of it any longer. And if he does, he gets a whipping, so to speak, by his conscience, and of course by the help by God himself, which will chasten his own. If he doesn't chasten you, then you're none of his. If you're living in sin, folks, and you're comfortable with it, you're not born again. If you're living in sin and you're comfortable with it, you're not born again. You're fooling yourself, but you're not fooling God. And your witness before other people is destroying their souls possibly too. This is very serious. That's a very good point, Brother Ed. But to live in sin, to live in sin. I didn't say you don't stumble in it. We all are just people. But to live in it, dwell in it, and roll in it like a hawk does a walla, it means that you're not born again. Your conscience has become seared, and you walk on a dangerous path.
I think that it's sad, and this basically covers all of the things that I've mentioned so far, that these sins have become acceptable. Living together, fornicating, you can't do that. It upsets God.
Amen. Back at the break, folks. No more talk about. Sorry I can't take phone calls, but I'm glad you're out there. Thank you. Don't go away.
This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. with organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
All righty, folks, we're back. And don't forget, we're going to try to have Bible study this weekend, either on location, which is 2 hours north of me, and it can get nasty going across those mountains. But if you can join us, if you like, by going to PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com, and we'll be there on Rumble. Just click on Rumble, and there will be a 10:30 a.m. Eastern, if everything goes the way we plan it to. But again, we're still being controlled somewhat by the weather. We listen on the phone. If you dial 339-209-5013, 339-209-5013, listen on the phone. We may try to do it in a new way by Zoom. I'll be here in the office on camera. That's be brand new to me now. I understand that. I'm not being on camera, but doing it remotely. We're going to maybe try to figure it out because the weather could be nasty, and if we can get it working that way, we want to miss you more Bible studies and keep on bringing them to you on a regular basis. We're just trying to update things. That does take funds, folks. It really, really does, and I hope you don't forget us when it comes to that. I sincerely mean that. We are still going through a drought, so to speak. It happens about this time every year, but this has been a little worse than most because people are struggling to pay their own bills, and I know that. Again, we're talking to Pastor Ed Brady of edbradyradio.com, Ed Brady, B-R-A-D-Y, radio.com. And we're discussing something during the break, before the break, what we tolerate in this nation today, what the church is tolerating, what the law now tolerates, the so-called civil law. But you know, a pastor by the name of Wesley, John Wesley, said many years ago, that which we tolerate today, we will embrace tomorrow. It is so hard, as Ed and I were discussing during the break, he and I are about the same age, I'm a year older than he is. What we see happening in this nation today, 60 years ago, would have had an uprising. people were not tolerated. As a matter of fact, I remember back in the 60s when the Beatles, one of the Beatles said they were more popular than Jesus Christ, and every radio station in the country quit playing their music. That's true. And today they get on TV, even on halftime and football games, and blaspheme God and His Word, and laugh at Him, mock Him, and do devilish rituals right on TV, and the people cheer it on, and the church watch it. That's the sad part. It's not that God's laws have changed. His standards haven't changed. Nothing's changed except people's minds and hearts towards Him. And a lot of them go to church every week, sometimes 3 or 4 times a week, and are outright living in sin, as Brother Ed said. Parents helping their daughter move in with the boy to shack up with him. That's called fornication, which will take you to hell. These are things, folks, that's accepted as normal today, but in the eyes of God, it's not normal. And that's where we are. Now, you go ahead, Brother Ed.
Well, along those lines of things that we accept, acceptable sins, if you will, is in sports today. It bothers me that the young girls that have trained all their life for the Olympics, or they've trained all their life to be on the swim team at school, and some young boy that can't beat another boy in wrestling decides he's going to become a girl and get on the girls' teams and beat girls and swim faster than girls and, you know, lift more weights than girls, but say they're a girl. That's absolutely insane, and the court comes down on their side. But we as parents of young people in America have to stand up and say, that is not right. And even if we don't win the fight, we need to at least stand up for the fight. Right here in our town, we had a situation where a group of us Christians got together, formed a little group called Stand for Right. Nothing fancy, Stand for Right. And we went to the library and said, we don't want you having trans women or drag women, men in drag dressed like women, reading to kindergarten kids. And we fought it and went to the press and had went to meetings and did our best to get this stopped. We said, why don't you replace it with grandparents reading to kindergarten kids? And there's a lot of grandpas and grandmas out there that would be happy to come in and read to the kids and read a proper book. But these drag queens have gone, they have a strong movement coast to coast, going to libraries and reading to kids. And they're not reading them the Bible, for sure. They're reading them the LGBTQ literature on how it's okay to have two mommies. It's okay to have two daddies. It's okay to, if you're a little girl, that it's okay for you to want to be a boy and dress like a boy. They're teaching these kids at a kindergarten age to become like them, like drag queens. And it's we tried to fight it, and we lost. The library here in our town decided to go ahead with the drag queen story hour. But even though we lost, the guy that headed up the campaign, I said, don't feel bad. I said, the Lord will be proud of us that we stood up at least. We were faithful to His word. God, nowhere in the Bible does God calls us that we have to be successful. He does call us to be faithful. We have to stand up for what's right, and what's right is printed in the Bible. And it's abhorrent to God to see a man dressed like a woman, or to see a man saying, well, I'm going to become a woman. Or if you are a man that decides to become a woman and have operations and all that stuff, or vice versa, a woman becoming a man, you're saying to God Almighty, you made a mistake. You didn't create me right. What do you think, Bud?
I think you're absolutely on the money. I mean, you truly, truly are. But, that people don't believe us today, brother, but the devils and the demons are still running this world, still can occupy people and control their hearts and minds. That's obviously true. It didn't go away when Christ left. They're still here. One day that's all going to come to an end. But people are influenced by what they see, what they listen to, what they read. And if you look at what's today, what we call music and art, it's unthinkable. As a matter of fact, I was going through some news the other day online. They had a fashion show somewhere in New York that the models on the runway just wore body tape over certain parts of the body. That's all they wore. They called it a fashion show, and it was a hit. That's America today. I mean, we have become in time Sodom and Gomorrah, no doubt about it. And payday is going to be hell for this country, as the Bible tells us. But our job is to try to tell the people, warn the people. And you said just right. We can't fight every battle, folks. I cannot fight in every front. I can't go to rallies and capitals. I can't go to different things across the country. The radio ministry is where I am. I'm on the radio. I can't take off and leave all the time, or I'll no longer be a radio ministry. We're all called different fronts. Whatever front you're called to, be faithful on that front. There's lots of dragons out there. Let God show you which one he wants you to slay, and you go after it. And as Brother Ed said, you may think you've lost, but you haven't lost. Being faithful is what he asked. I mean, if loss was in the scorecard, so to speak, then when the Apostle Paul was beheaded, he really lost. We know he didn't, but that's how we sometimes look at it. Don't look at it that way. You do what's right, no matter what the cost, and let God decide what the outcome is going to be. Somebody once said, duty is ours, consequences are God's. We do his will as best we understand it. Ask him to guide us and lead us and teach us. He'll give you the strength and energy and wisdom to do it. And if it looks like you're lost in this earth, so be it. We're not fighting necessarily to save this earth. We're fighting to further the kingdom of Christ on this earth. Anything you want to add to that, Brother Ed?
Well, the thing that happens to people that stand up for what's right, like I go on social media and I'll post scripture and stuff like that, and I get blocked all the time. Facebook drops me, and you know other social media, you know, blocks me for, oh, you're not going to be on for another 30 days. But that's okay. I'd rather put it out there that having a man on a girl's track team is right, and have them take it down and take me off than not do it at all. I have to stand up for what's right, because
amen.
And God will river the ones that he wants you to fight. The reason that we here in this town tried to fight the drag queen story hour was because it was right here in our face. The library decided they're going to have a drag queen read, you know, LGBTQ books to little kids and train little kids that it's okay to change gender if you want to. Well, the fight was right in front of me. So a friend of mine from church and some other friends from church, we put together this little group, Stand for Right, and we fought it. We fought as best we could, and we lost, but my goodness, at least there's some people out there that realize that the Christian way is God's way if you're doing it right. You can't allow, what was the phrase? You can't allow the camel's nose to get into the tent, because pretty soon the whole camel will be in there.
Yes. Yes,
you know, we have to stand and fight every time we can, even if it costs us. Even if I can't go to the library here anymore, I don't. You know, if they want to ban me for doing the right thing, well, then at least I know that I'm doing the right thing for the right reason, and try to do my best to live God's way, and I'm going to answer for that. One of the things that when you're called to ministry, you're more responsible for
amen.
Leading other people in the proper way, and you're more responsible for punishment if you don't do it right. So we have to bring out these truths according to God's word. One of the next thing I want to bring up while we're talking about
I want to add one thing to that. According to Hebrews, chapter, we're accountable for the souls that we teach. That scared me a little bit. We got to get it right. We can't mess it up. We got to get it right. That's our duty.
And the people that attack us, we have to forgive them, because in Matthew it says if we don't forgive them, God can't forgive us. We need to stand for right. If people oppose us or come against us, you know, we just need to express the fact that we're doing this God's way, and we forgive you, you know, for attacking us publicly in the press or TV or whatever it is.
Well, you know, you've heard the old saying that you can tell an individual by his friends. You can also tell an individual by his enemies.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and
right now, Christianity's under attack in America big time.
Yeah. Yeah, we live what I believe to be a post-Christian era. And what I mean by that is I grew up in the 50s, and what would you do on Sunday? Everybody goes to church. You know, what else would you do? And now I would guess it's, you know, the other way. 50% of the people don't go, 80% of the people don't go, whatever. I don't know what the statistic is. George Barna probably does. But the things that are Christian are definitely out of style, passé, and even ridiculed for the people that try to live God's way. But nevertheless, we're not responsible for how other people think or act. We're responsible for how we think and how we act and whether or not we're being true to God's way of doing things. And we try to share that with other people. We are responsible to share his truth with them. If they don't accept it, they don't accept it. But you got to preach the word. You got to preach the truth. You got to preach the only way is Jesus. The only way. At the beginning of the program, you were talking about a Sue who had a son that was 50 and he's having trouble with alcohol and drugs. Jesus is the way. I mean, no matter what the question is, Jesus is the answer. You can't do it without him. You can try, you know, there are 12 steps programs and whatever, but the people that go into a counseling center for alcohol or drugs or whatever, if they teach Jesus, they're going to have a very successful program. Uh-huh. If they teach social ways to overtake this thing, it doesn't last very long. Almost all of them are suffering from recidivism, and they go back into the world of drugs, and they go back into alcohol because they don't have an anchor called Jesus Christ, and that's where our anchor has to be.
And you have to have an inward change. It can't be something that you may have a desire to do it. Unless there's been an inward change, when you become a new creature in Christ, unless there's an inward change, the outside goes back in the same rut every time, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people just think that, well, this is the way I am, or, you know, this is the way my parents were, or this is the way of family traits. One of the things I wanted to bring up while we're talking about acceptable sins, people that worry, people that have fear, people that have anxiety, these are sins that even Christians ignore, because I'm not saying mental illness is a sin. I'm talking about the people that don't have a serious medical condition. God says don't worry about stuff. You know, don't be uneasy or anxious about your life. This is in Matthew 6:25. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you drink or about your body or what you put on. Is not life greater than food and the body more important than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father keeps feeding them. But I do want to postscript that particular scripture. God feeds the birds, but they still have to go to work and get it. They have to go for the seed. God doesn't put the worm in the robin's mouth. He doesn't jump up out of the ground. If you're a salesman, you have to go out and make the sales calls. You know, if you're a carpenter, you have to make the table. You make the chairs. Whatever talent God gave you, you have to work at it. And the birds do, too. They have to work at finding their seed. It's out there. But the people that say, well, I'm a worrier, or my mother was a worrier, or whatever, truly, you're saying, well, God, you're not enough. You cannot get me through this. I've got to really, really worry about it. And the scripture says you're not going to add an inch to your height or a year to the length of your life by doing that. God will supply every need of yours, all needs, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19.
That's why he says, but you know, and you're saying it right like it is. And folks, we're not belittling the fact that sometimes it's tough. It's sometimes tough for Brother Ed and I too. We're just people. We all hit ups and downs. The old song up by the McCameys, I've played in this broadcast many times, Ed. You probably heard it. God on the Mountain. You probably heard that song by the McCameys, Southern Gospel Group. God on the Mountain is still God in the Valley. And sometimes even preachers have down days. That's just because they're walking in the flesh. Even Christ sweat drops of blood. He was going through such anguish. So don't feel discouraged or beaten because you have an off day. We all do. But don't stay there. Get your mind back on Christ and on his will. And what you're here for, what you're doing here for him. Our whole life should be wrapped around him. And then our families and to go on from there. But Christ must be number one. He cannot be number two to your family, to your job, to anybody. Christ is number one, or he's not at all. You can only serve one master. Understand that. You can't serve your wife and Christ at the same time. If your family is above Christ, But then obviously you're not walking in Christ. Christ is the answer for all this. And I promise you this, from personal experience, being married going on 53 years, brother, and I know for a fact that our marriage worked because we put Christ first. That doesn't mean you always got along. My wife and I have been at odds more than once. I mean, if we live out in the woods by ourselves, Brother Ed, that way no one can hear us yelling. But anyway, we've been at odds with each other many times. But we're walking in Christ, and we know His will is we stay together. And going on 53 years and made it work to His glory and by His grace. Anything you want to add to that or anything else, go ahead.
Well, if you have any friction in your marriage, and you will have friction, you'll have problems.
Absolutely.
Then you get together afterwards and pray. You come back together with you, the husband, the wife, and Jesus as a three-part cord, and that's hard to break. If yes, you're going to have arguments. Yes, unfortunately, we all yell at our spouses or they yell at us about something. But after that's over, you say, come here, honey, let's pray. And you pray for a unity in your marriage, and you bring Christ back to the center of your marriage. That's going to help you a lot.
That's the only way. There is no other way. Folks, we're not making fun of anybody. We're not belittling anybody. We know we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us deserve salvation. That's why it was given to us freely, because of the price that our Savior paid on the cross of Calvary. It's freely given to us, but it cost a dear price for your soul. So no one is throwing stones tonight and saying anything to try to hurt you. We're just trying to give you, to encourage you and let you understand. Our hope is not in this world or of this world. Your hope, your real hope, is not in this world or of this world. It's not in money. It's not in things. It's not in drugs. It's not in sex. It's in Christ. You put Him first, and as Brother Ed will testify, your life will be blessed. I didn't say it's all going to be just like you want to be. I didn't say that. But you'll be blessed. And if nothing else, if you lose everything for the glory of Christ, if you lose it all, don't worry about it, because one day you'll be called a joint heir with Christ. Romans chapter 8 says that. So don't be discouraged. Get excited about it. When you face adversary because you stand for Christ, realize that many millions have faced adversity because of Christ. Don't let that discourage you at all. Praise God that you count them worthy to suffer for Him. Ed, go ahead before I get carried away.
I'm going to bring up one of the things that I've observed, that what I would call sins that some Christians ignore, or the most acceptable sin in our society today, and this is going to hit me, and I don't know whether it hit you, Butch, but it isn't just Christians that are doing this. Pastors are doing this, too, and that's gluttony.
Oh,
gluttony
yeah.
is probably the most acceptable
yeah.
sin in America, including Christians and pastors. I believe that 70% of Americans
I want to tell you, I want to tell you something, Ed. You went from preaching to meddling now.
Well, you got to push yourself away from the table. We live in a culture of excess. There are countries where there's people, they don't have enough food. They're drinking dirty, muddy water for water. And what God is calling us to do, I mean, I have to plead guilty to this sin. I've been overweight most of my life. And I've tried programs, and Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, even surgery. But each time I lose weight and I gain it back, and that's simply because of my sin of gluttony that I have not completely overcome yet. And I have a medical condition that I can blame it on. I've suffered from years and years of depression, and eating helps me decrease my depression. But that's just an excuse for me. I mean, for most human bodies, there's one simple prescription: eat less and exercise more. But that's easier said than done, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Eat less and exercise more, because we've made gluttony, we've made being fat normal. We call it husky, we call it portly. But all that means is a person is fat, and we don't want to hurt their feelings. But on a program like this, where to call the decision, maybe one of your listeners is going to decide, well, tonight I start. I'm not going to have any snacks in the evening after supper. That's
yes.
a good way to start.
Yes,
you know, you got to. I have finally stopped going to all-you-can-eat buffets. Because I took it as a challenge to see how much I could eat for the price of one meal. I used to do that, but I quit going to buffets. If there's a buffet and I want some of their food, my wife will go in, and she'll take one of those plastic takeout trays, and she'll take out one meal. And I'm not going to eat three meals like I used to by going into the buffet restaurant. But the thing is biblically based. What I'm saying here, and I'm confirming myself because I am overweight, I am fat, not really, really fat, but, you know, fat enough that I need to do what the Bible says, and that's like a boxer, buffet my body. I need to exercise. I need to discipline it. We need to subdue it. We have to show others that the gospel works, and even by the way we look as far as our body size, we need to do what we can to honor the fact that we have a temple of the Holy Spirit that we live in. That's 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit?
That's right.
You're not your own. You're bought at a price. We need to honor God with our bodies. And I'm sure I've offended somebody. I'm sorry you're offended, but I stopped going to buffets. I stopped eating anything after 6 p.m. I've started eating half portions in my meals, and I find that I'm satisfied. If I have ice cream, I say to my wife, bring me one scoop, just one scoop. And gluttony has become an acceptable sin, and we live in a fat, excessive society, and we're not doing what the Bible says, and that's disciplining our body. One of the things I do for exercise, I don't like to exercise as much on land as I do in water. I go three times a week to water aerobics, an exercise class in the water. That is great. I love it. I recommend that to everybody, Bush.
Okay. We're down about the last minute and a half or 2 minutes. And Ed Brady, I appreciate you joining us tonight. Folks, it's edbradyradio.com. And thanks for joining me, Ed. I've enjoyed this very much. Maybe we'll do it again sometime in the future if you want to.
I would love to come back on any time. Radio, God put that in my heart as a desire. Radio and ministry is what I do for God every day.
Well, I want to thank you for your staying, what you're doing around the world, and just continue doing what both of us, all of us, folks, do what you can for the glory of God. Seek his face, seek his will, and then do what I ask you to do. I promise you, whether we think we win or lose on earth, we're not on this earth eternally. Our win will be on the other side. So keep your eyes on Christ. Ed, what do you want to say in about 15 seconds? In a hurry.
I would say you're in the last days. We're in the last days that people will love themselves and they love their money. They'll scoff at God and
Amen.
Be disobedient to their parents. We're in the last
Amen.
Days. Hey,
Amen.
Folks, get it right.
All right, Ed, we'll be talking to you, folks. Love you. See you tomorrow night. Have a great night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.